Confessing Hidden Sin on this edition of Truth and Love. I'm Dale Johnson, and you're listening to Truth and Love, a podcast of the Association of Certified Biblical Counselors, where we seek to provide biblical solutions to the problems that people face. This week on the podcast, I have with me Pastor Josh Greiner. He's originally from Indiana. He went to Purdue University, where he received his BA in political science. During his time at Purdue, he received biblical counseling from Faith Church in Lafayette, Indiana, and he was introduced to the biblical counseling movement. After graduating from Purdue, one of the pastors on staff encouraged him to consider going into the ministry, and eventually he enrolled in Faith Bible Seminary, where he received his MDiv. And while at Faith, he met his wife, Shanna, and they have four children. After spending 10 years on staff at Faith, Josh now serves as the lead pastor of Berean Baptist in Portage, Michigan. He was certified in 2009 with ACBC and serves as a fellow with ACBC, and he teaches in the MABC program at Faith Bible Seminary. Josh, again, welcome to the podcast. So grateful for your time with us. Looking forward to this discussion on confessing hidden sins.
Great to be with you here today, Dale. Appreciate the opportunity.
Josh, as we look at this is always sort of one of those dream moments as a counselor when the Lord just has a specific situation that arises and we see a counselee moving in a direction that is a very biblical posture to confess sins. But the very nature of these things being hidden makes it somewhat difficult. So I want to try to work through this in a biblical fashion for us to understand how to go about this or how to facilitate this with a counselee. I want to see what are some of the biblical examples that we're describing so we understand what we're talking about here when we talk about hidden sin. So can you give an example from Scripture of when we see hidden sin and how we might approach that in the counseling room?
Well, I mean, when I think about the most obvious sort of hidden sin in Scripture that was hidden and is revealed is David and Bathsheba, right? I mean, that sin was hidden. He was confronted. We're not always as counselor going to have divine revelation like that. He was confronted and it was exposed. And really that confession, that bringing out of the hidden sin, we know that bringing hidden sin out is biblically required. Over and over again, we're told to confess our sins to God and to others who would be impacted. So as counselors, on our mind, why should we want hidden sin to be brought out? It's because it's biblically required. But number two, it also is going to aid in that restoration process that's going on, right? We see that in David, that him bringing the sin out into the open where it wasn't before, that is aiding in his spiritual growth. Imagine for a moment if that sin had been allowed to linger. David's not the only example, right? We could look to the church at 1 Corinthians and the sin that they were dealing with as well. But point being, confession, bringing it out, helps with our restoration. It's required, but it aids in our sanctification process. And then third, it just kind of moves us to future growth. Right? If we're hoping to grow to become more like Christ, but we're hiding this sin, we're keeping it back. And I think that keeping is intentional. It's volitional. It's purposeful. We all have sin that we're just not aware of, that we're blinded to, right? God in his mercy doesn't always reveal to us every aspect of our sin in the moment of sanctification. That would be overwhelming to any of us. But there are areas in our counselees' lives and possibly even in our lives that we keep hidden. And by bringing those out intentionally, that is going to aid in our future spiritual growth. So that's the pattern that we see in the Bible, we see in the life of David, others. And I think that's why, as counselors, this is an important topic for us.
Yeah, I think well said. And there's a reason that these things are hidden. It could be because, man, this is really embarrassing to think that, you know, people think I'm a great guy, but this is sort of going on in the background. And man, for me to confess something like that, it remains hidden. But there could be a lot of reasons. Maybe we believe a lie that it's better if it just remains in the dark No one else really knows. No one else is affected by these things. I mean, these are the types of ways that we as human beings rationalize and keep things in the dark and keep things hidden. Even the example that you used with King David. Now, as we go to the counseling room and we try to address some of these particular reasons, I want you to help us to think through some of the goals of confession. So when we find a person coming to that place where a hidden sin is revealed, they begin in the process of maybe we see confession and repentance, sort of we're on the cusp of that. What are some of the goals of confession? What are some of the main reasons that a person might pursue confession?
Yeah, and first of all, I would just say I'm borrowing a lot of this from Ken Sandy and his work. There's been a lot of good work done in around these topics. So borrowing a lot of that, but I think the first thing that we're thinking about is we want to say the same thing that God says. And I think if we are just careful observers of what's happening in the counseling room, so many times we see people kind of want to muddle around the issue. They don't want to say, okay, why is this biblically wrong? How is God describing it? They just want to say, well, it was wrong of me to do this or that. We want to say the same thing that God says, right? That's literally what confession is all about. So our goal, God says something about this. We want to say the same thing about it. And number two, I think we want to be transparent and specific with those parties that have been affected. So many times we might have told someone the truth, but brought out some hidden sin, but we didn't bring it out to the right party. Now, it's not the job of that party that's been told to go telling around on others. There's a place for that in church discipline, but I'm not talking about that right now. So encouraging, okay, you told me this, but a lot of times we need to go to the person that's being affected, impacted. It could be a spouse, could be a friend, a brother in Christ. I do think there is a balance. You know, you kind of mentioned some of these dynamics around hidden sin. I think there has to be a balance when it comes to sexual sin. And that could kind of be an entire topic all to itself in marriage about, and when you're counseling someone who's not married, about what needs to be confessed in the counseling room. There's probably going to be some principles that guide us around specifics of confession, just because of we don't need to necessarily hear all of that. And the point is we need to be specific. We need to be transparent about what did we do? How did it impact us? And in that confession, thirdly, we can't be defensive. Sometimes when we're confessing and telling others what happened, we're kind of excusing ourselves. Like, here's what I did and here's why I did it. And that's just a tendency in human nature. We want to, even in the moments of our humbling, we're still trying to defend ourselves. We're still trying to. So we have to encourage, we have to shepherd our counselees. Don't be defensive in your confession. Own it. Own it 100%, brother or sister. I do think sometimes it can be very helpful, especially when you're dealing with conflict with people, having individuals write out their confession, write these things out word for word. I think that can just be a tendency of ours where many words are, sin is not absent, right? We're fighting with our flesh. And so helping your counselee walk through, okay, what are you going to say to that person that you sinned against? When you spoke evilly of them, when you spoke evilly to them, when you mistreated them, let's write that out together and let's review it to make sure that it is what God would say on the same thing. Let's make sure that what you're trying to do here is accomplishing its goals. And sometimes one of the best ways to do that is to write it out, sometimes even word for word. And then lastly, I think as we're doing this confession, we're trying to say the same thing God says, making sure that we're not defensive. I often encourage people, you want to weave God's word in this story that you're telling. Where do you see it wrong in the scriptures? Where do you see the direction that you're heading the scriptures call us to, right? Biblical counseling, if it's guiding people into biblical confession, ought to find biblical passages that are helping us see why was this problematic and where does God's word speak on this issue? And so if scriptures are silent in confession, then I think often we're missing something there.
And that raises a question for me, and I appreciate you pointing us to scripture here and finding passages of scripture that are clear, that we've breached in a given moment and that confession is necessary. And we're tying those two things together. And that leads me to think about key principles or key elements of confession. This is difficult in the counseling room where we don't know the full story of what's going on. This is a hidden sin for a reason. And so, but there are particular elements that we're wanting to see in terms of confession. Is this something that is genuine? And sometimes that's hard to know. So, Josh, help us to think through some of those key elements from Scripture that we should see in terms of a genuine confession.
Yeah, I mean, I think confession is that first step on the path to repentance. So there is some people who don't mind. They'll tell you all the ways that they've sinned, and then they'll come back next week and tell you again all the ways that they have sinned. They're not really interested in change. And so I think confession, we're talking about bringing something into the light. It is that first step of, by bringing it into the light, what that person is saying and what you're trying to get them to say is, we're looking for change. And really now what we're talking about is, what does it look like for someone to truly repent? And again, I think this is actually where biblical counseling, man, this is its bread and butter. The passage that I tend to use the most when trying to articulate this to someone, because they might bring it out, tell us something, and then they're just kind of thinking, I am remorseful. That is it, right? And I'm thinking, no, let's go to Ephesians 4. We're going to walk through verses 22 through 24. But then let's really answer this question. When is a thief no longer a thief? All right, we're going to go to verse 28, and people are puzzled at that question. When is a thief no longer a thief? Now I didn't invent that question, right? That question's been circulating in biblical counseling for plenty of time, but helping them see a thief is no longer a thief, not when he stops stealing. You got to stop stealing, right? Whatever you're doing, you have to stop doing that. You've even got to have that change in your thinking. But a thief is no longer a thief when he works hard so that he has something to give. And that's really what we're trying to get our counselees to. You brought it out, thankful for that. But ultimately, when is a thief no longer a thief? When are you no longer doing that? It's not just when you put off the activity, it's when you have put on the new.
And that's really helpful and really gives us some categories by which to think and aims for our counselee to press them toward true, legitimate biblical change, where we've seen the Spirit do its work in their hearts. And as we think about this a little bit further, I'm reminded, Josh, of several specific cases of my own dealing with counselees. And it's always interesting that I've seen counselees, just like you mentioned earlier, who they're willing to confess in lots of different ways. They confess the things that are known. And I found myself, man, counseling is not progressing, but these people are confessing certain sins. And it's like, wow, why is this not progressing? Come to find out later, by the Lord's providence, he reveals more and more and more that was hidden. And they're confessing, they're willing to confess what's known, but they're also wanting to hide those things that are underneath the surface. I want you to talk a little bit about how do we help a counselee encourage them to confess sin that they're hiding, not to just get comfortable with confessing known sins, maybe the presenting problems that are arising because of evident sin, but confess those things that are hidden, that are constantly contributing to the destruction and instability in their life.
Yeah, I think that's a great question, because there's going to be some steps that we as counselors can take. Obviously, at the end of the day, we are dependent on the counselee to do their thing. We can be faithful to teach. We can be faithful to do a lot of things, but it's going to be dependent on them. But I'd say first and foremost, getting back to some of the key elements, and it's remarkable how many times our answers go back to maybe one of the key elements is we're building a relationship with our counselee. And there's a balance here for sure. You don't want to spend 30 minutes of each session talking, you know, fishing and hunting and sports. But at the same point, you want to build a trusting, involved relationship. Some people are really good at this. They kind of know when to do the pivot, you know, 5, 6, 7 minutes in. They can keep the conversation moving. And some people, you know, hi, welcome to my office. My name is Josh. What is your worth problem that you're here for today? And so are you building, if you suspect that you have a counselee wrestling with confession of hidden sin, are you doing a good job building involvement building a trusting relationship. Reminding yourself ultimately, look, it's not your job to force the issue. You don't need to make this come out. But as you are building that relationship, there is often a greater likelihood that they want to tell you the truth. Number two, I think this is important in our counseling. So many times when people come to us, not always, but a lot of times, there's a disjoint in their community, right? They're the sheep that has wandered away. As a counselor, we need to help them get back into meaningful community. How do we help them see that they can expose themselves, they can be true and honest and want to change, and that they can be involved in a loving community of brothers and sisters in Christ who care for them? They're going to say, come as you are. They're not going to say, stay as you are, but they are going to say, come as you are. And so help them build that meaningful community. You might have to do some work there around shame too. And a lot of times that the presenting issue is some sort of shame. They're so worried about that. I think shame just lies on the spectrum of pride. So people are struggling with pride, and therefore you got to help them there. And then so many times, thirdly, what comes up in counseling is, what are the desires? Why are they wanting to keep this hidden? What is it they believe that they will get if they keep this thing hidden? Right? They know that they probably shouldn't keep it secret. You probably brought them to passages like Psalm 32 and helped them see that David was wasting away in those moments. But what is it they want? Are they worried, for example, that they might lose a job? They might lose your or someone else's respect. They might lose their spouse, or they'll have conflict with their spouse. There's something that they're wanting, right? Getting back to the heart, what is it they long for? What is it they worship? I think we have to figure that out in counseling if they're struggling with confessing something that's hidden. And if you're doing work in the heart, then on one real level, whatever it is that they're hiding, they're not going to be able to hide over there. When you're dealing with heart issues, they're not going to be able to hide those kind of things. And then lastly, I think, you know, some of us are really natural towards this. Some of us aren't. We have to spend time in the counseling room or assigning resources that help people see the value of bringing hidden sin out. So you might be naturally a good teacher, and so you'll do that in your counseling room. You might not be as skilled and equipped teacher, and so you'll assign some resources that other people have done on the values and qualities of good confession, stuff that's probably impacted you. But you'll have to eventually lead them and say, okay, here's why this is important. This is why you have to do that. And lastly, I just remind us as counselors, if we're concerned about confession of hidden sins, and I've even had people tell me, like, look, I'm not telling you the whole truth. I'm just not going to tell you everything that's going on. One level, I appreciate the bluntness. Thank you for telling me. You're not telling me everything. And those are opportunities for me as a counselor to trust in the Lord, remind myself the Lord has this. My value, my worth as a counselor isn't dependent on whatever happens in this situation. So I can love them, I can care for them, I can counsel them. And if they're choosing to hold things back, I don't need to force it out. And if they keep things back, that isn't inherently a sign that I'm a bad counselor or I'm not doing this to please Christ. It could be some other dynamic that's happening, and I can just step back, can trust the Lord, and I can be okay with it.
Well said. And this is so practical, Josh, and I'm so grateful that we've spent some time today talking about this. Something that you'll find useful in your counseling room regularly, and this ought to be a primary part and distinction of biblical counseling and part of what leads us in the direction of repentance, where we see true legitimate freedom, true legitimate change and stability in our walk. Josh, thanks for helping us think through this biblically and practically and encouraging our counselors in leading and guiding in confessing hidden sins.
Dale, it's been a pleasure to be with you today.
You're listening to Truth and Love, a podcast of ACBC. You know, here in a couple of weeks, we are going to have our refuge retreat. We have some gracious folks who are allowing us to come to Vista Verde Ranch in Steamboat, Colorado. And I'm really looking forward to this time together where a pastor and his wife, we have 14 couples who will be joining us on site there at the ranch. And this is a retreat for them. And this is a different type of retreat where we're engaging their lives, some of the stresses that they're dealing with. And we have counseling couples who will come and walk along with them doing some intensive counseling during several days. I want to ask you a couple of things. First, I want to ask if you will pray for us. This is our refuge retreat. Pray for the pastors and their wives who will be there. Pray for the counseling couples who will be there ministering to them. Pray that this is a refreshing time because the goal is we want these pastors to be encouraged, to be engaged, and get back into the fight, into their ministry so that they can be strong for their churches. Remember, they're on the front lines of ministry. So if you will, join me in praying for them. I also want to encourage you, this is an opportunity for you to give to support the work of ACBC. Doing these types of things is really at my heart. I want to make sure that we take care of our pastors, and you have an opportunity to encourage us in doing that. It costs us a significant amount of money to get couples there to counsel with the pastor and their wife. Some of that cost has been mitigated by gracious donors, and I'm so grateful for that. It allows us to continue doing this at different places around the country. And so if this is a part of something that the Lord has laid on your heart, we would love for you to join us in that. So pray, and if you have the opportunity, we would love for you to give to support a pastor and his wife coming to our refuge retreat where they're going to get some intensive counseling, get back into the game, is our prayer. If you want more information about how you can donate, you can go to biblicalcounseling.com.